Great faith. What is faith? According to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the confidence of what we hope for. What we hope for will actually happen. It is an assurance about things we cannot see. Let me say that again. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. What we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance about things we cannot see. This word faith is translated in different ways in the scripture. It's translated as assurance. It's translated as belief, believe. Translated obviously as faith. It's also translated as fidelity. It's translated as fidelity as well. It's a belief with a predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ. As relating to Christ, it's a strong and welcomed conviction or belief that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the one the prophets foretold about, that he is God's solution, God's remedy for this world's problems, this world's drama. Amen. All the pain and suffering in this world, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. He is the Savior of the world. Amen. He is the one through whom you and I experience, we obtain eternal salvation. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Faith encompasses the idea of believing, as we said before, believing in something or in someone. Believing in something or in someone. When you think of the word belief, right? The word belief can be translated to trust in. It can mean to trust in. It can mean to cling to someone or something, right? Some belief system or some particular person, to cling to that person, to believe in that person. It also means to rely on something, to rely on someone. All right, the word belief. And so faith encompasses that word belief. Where does faith come from? Well, we know the scripture says faith comes by hearing, right? And that is hearing the word of God. So when the word of God is preached, when the word of God is spoken, amen, when God begins to speak, the Bible is the word of God. So when God begins to speak through his word, when he takes that word off the pages and brings it home to you and I, whether we're having our devotional time or our pastor is sharing a word or you're listening to a radio program or whatever it may be, maybe you're reading a devotion and the word comes alive, all of a sudden it will begin to produce a faith in your heart. Amen. It produces a faith in your heart. You remember the multitudes as they followed Jesus and as he began to speak. All of a sudden, a faith began to arise in their hearts for the miraculous, to believe God for great things because he is a great God. Hallelujah. How do we come by it? What produces it? Well, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has given everybody a measure, an amount, a certain amount of faith, a measure of faith. The disciples asked Jesus at one point, Lord, would you increase our faith? Would you increase our faith? So they recognize that the Lord has to be the one to cause that faith to arise in our hearts and for it to grow, to increase, to nurture that faith in our hearts. And that's what the Lord does. Amen. He loves to nurture your faith in mine. Everything God does is designed to produce a faith in you and I, a strong confidence in him, a conviction that God is who he says he is. Amen. That's why Gideon was able to ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me? Are you the one calling me? Show me that you're calling me. I'm going to do this. And if you do this, I will know that you're calling me. Remember the story. And so God did exactly what Gideon asked, to prove to him that he was in fact the one that was calling him. Again, Gideon was doubting a little bit. He wanted an assurance. So again, he said, Lord, would you do this and prove to me that you are the one calling me, that you are the one speaking to me. And again, the Lord did that. Why did the Lord do that? Because he wants to nurture in you and I our faith. He wants that faith to grow. Hallelujah. He wants that faith to be nurtured in him, so that we will be convinced amen, that we will have a strong confidence that God is who he says he is and that he is able to do whatever he has promised to you and I. Praise God. There is also a gift of faith, which is given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the scripture talks about that. And so we know that from the word of God, there is a gift given of the Holy Ghost of faith. So it all comes from God. All good things come from above, folks. All good things come from above. Praise God. Now, what constitutes great faith tonight? What constitutes great faith? What does great faith, let's try and say that five times. What does great faith look like? Well, when you begin to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28, it tells an incredible story of an interaction between a woman and Jesus. The main characters are Jesus, his disciples, this woman, and this woman's daughter. Okay, these are the main characters in this particular story. And these are the ones that are talking in the story, that are having the conversation in this story. As we begin to look at this story, what's happening? What is the scene? What is the cultural context of this particular passage? Well, Jesus leaves Galilee. Okay, he leaves Galilee and he goes up north to Tyre and Sidon. Amen. He begins to travel outside the Jewish territories. One of the few times where he did that. And he goes up to Tyre and Sidon. And as we begin to look here, we're going to see what constitutes great faith. Number one, great faith is centered on Christ. Great faith is centered on Christ. The Bible tells us that a Gentile woman comes to Jesus with a need. In verse 22, she's called a Gentile woman. Another translation says a Syrophoenician woman. A Syrophoenician woman. Another translation says a Canaanite woman. Why does it make that distinction? Because she was a pagan. She was a heathen. She was technically outside the kingdom of God. She would have been called what was called an unbeliever in our day. Okay? She is considered an unbeliever. She's considered unclean, a pagan, a heathen. This woman comes to Jesus to intercede for her daughter's condition. She begins to plead with him to have mercy on her. Have mercy on her. The woman's daughter had a certain condition that was severely tormenting her. Severely tormenting her. The daughter was badly vexed. If you look up that word badly, it means physically or morally vexed. So it could mean it could be a physical condition. It could be a spiritual condition, a moral condition that she is experiencing at this particular time. The idea is of something that has gone amiss, something that's not right with her, something that's outside the natural course of God's design, something of evil has come into her life. Many of you know what that's like, to have something of evil, something demonic begin to take hold of you or take hold of your life, the enemy beginning to influence you in a negative way, or maybe in your family, you see the enemy coming in trying to ravage your family in a negative way, trying to ravage the lives of your loved ones in a negative way. It speaks of a grievousness, something that causes grievousness. It speaks of something that brings misery. It brings misery into the life. So this woman's daughter is miserable because of what's taking place. There's no sense of hope. There's no sense of purpose. This thing absolutely has enveloped her life. Is consuming her life. The words also speaks of something of being sick. It's something that's making her sick. Sick. She's not healthy. She's not well. It speaks of bringing a distress into her life. And the mother sees this. The mother sees this. And so she comes to Jesus. She comes to Christ with her need and she begins to cry out. To Jesus. She begins to cry out to the Lord. And this is her cry. She starts pleading with him. Lord, she says, have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, son of David. She cries out to him. She cries aloud. She begins to shout. She raises her voice. I think of how we gather together on Tuesday nights for the worldwide prayer meeting and how we begin to corporately lift our voices to God, how we begin to cry out to Him from the depths of our souls for the needs that are in the midst, that are presented to us. That's what this woman begins to do. She begins to cry aloud to God. It means to cry out to one with a loud and an urgent cry. This woman was desperate. She needed an answer. She needed God to come through. She needed something to happen. She needed a miracle. Her daughter needed a miracle at this particular point in her life. She begins to acknowledge who Christ is in the midst of this situation, though. She says, "Have mercy on me." She recognizes Him. She says, "You are merciful. You are merciful. I've heard of your mercy. You are the merciful one." She says, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter." She begins to say, "Oh Lord, Son of David." Oh Lord, Son of David. This word Lord is the same word, found in verse 25 and also in verse 27 as master. It's the same word. The term Lord and master comes from the same word meaning might, power, the owner, the possessor, master or head of the house. I like that. Head of the house. This is my house. She says, "Jesus, this is your house." In other words, not just the sanctuary, not just the church, not just when we gather together, but Lord, the streets, my community, my neighborhood, my workplace, this is your house. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Lord, this is your world. This is your house. Hallelujah. This is your house. She says, "Lord, this is your house." This word Lord means, and master, it speaks of a supremacy. She's saying, "Lord, you are supreme here." The word Lord means supreme. You are supreme in your authority. You have absolutely all authority. Jesus doesn't just have more authority than the devil, folks. He has all authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And He gives authority to whomever He wishes, to whomever He wills. See, that's what the scripture says. God places people in authority, in positions of authority. He's the one that does that. It also speaks of Him being the controller by implication that He is God. So she is saying, "Jesus, you are God. You are Lord." She recognizes who He is. And she's a heathen. She's a pagan. Considered a pagan. In your day and mine, that means she's not even a Christian, but she recognizes who He is. She's not yet there like the disciples, but she recognizes who He is in a sense. It also means that He is he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which He has the power to decide. In other words, He has the power to decide concerning her case. He's the one that makes the final decision concerning what she is going through. Hallelujah. It also means a title of honor. It's a title of honor, respect, and reverence with which a servant greets their master. She's saying, "You are my master. You are master. I'm acknowledging you as my master." This is also a title that is given to God the Messiah. She recognizes who He is. That's why she says, "Son of David." That was the title of the Messiah. He would be called the Son of David. He would come from the lineage of David, the king. So she recognizes who He is. Hallelujah. "Lord, have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me." People who are centered on Christ, folks, like this woman, are not focused or centered on their own ability, understanding, or resources. They're not focused on their own understanding, ability, or resources. Like the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways." Don't try and figure this out, but acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. The psalmist said it this way. He said, "I will say of the Lord, He alone is my rock and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah. Another translation puts it this way. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. In him I confidently trust. Praise God. They recognize, folks that are not leaning on their own strength or ability or resources, recognize that without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do anything. Through him, we can do anything. Great faith is centered, focused on Christ. Great faith is centered and focused on Christ. Secondly, great faith does not give up, but stands up to the test. Let me say that again. Great faith does not give up, but stands up to the test. Stands up to the test. The Bible says that when she cried out to the Lord, she said, have mercy on me. Verse 22, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. Verse 23, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Not even a word. Do you know what that's like? I said, do you know what that's like? Imagine, he didn't say anything to her. Have you ever felt that way? You're praying for a certain thing, right? You're asking God to do this, do that, to come through in this area, that area. God, would you do this? And you don't hear anything. You go to your devotions, right? You put on some worship songs. You try and get in the mood. Worship mood. You try to get your worship on. You go to your Bible, and it feels, I mean, it's like dry like toast. You read through, you don't get nothing. Have you ever felt that way? Okay, one person has felt that way. I said, have you ever felt that way? Well, you need a word from God, and it just seems like there's no reply. There's no answer. The scripture says Jesus gave her no reply. Gave her no reply, not even a word. Not even a word. Jesus' silence was a test of the woman's faith. Let me say that again. Jesus' silence was a test of this woman's faith. Just like it's a test of your faith. It gave her the opportunity to exercise her faith and exhibit her seriousness, her passion, and her fervency concerning what was in her heart. And are you with me? Her devotion all of a sudden is being stirred, is being fanned, is being fanned. Her devotion, her faith, her passion, her seriousness. You know, time, sometimes, the Lord will use time to help you and I really begin to discern if what we're praying for we really need, or what we really want, or is what really is really in line with his will. Sometimes time, will God will use that to work even a deeper work in us. That's what's happening with this woman. Jesus didn't give her an answer, but his silence was a test of her faith, and it gave her an opportunity to exercise her faith. Look what the disciples do. They tried to discourage her. The Bible says, then the disciples urged him, Jesus, to send her away. Send her away, they said. Verse 23, Jesus, tell her to go away. She's bothering us. She's bothering us with all her begging. She's annoying us. Lord, get rid of her. Tell her to leave, will you? First of all, they're telling Jesus what to do. I mean, you talk about being just off. You talk about just being just out there. I mean, that's not even the heart of God. They don't even have God's heart at this point. They are totally in the flesh. right? Tell them to go away. They're only concerned about themselves. They're only concerned about themselves, and they're trying to discourage her. You know, that happens sometimes. You determine that you're going to live for God, you're going to go on with the Lord, and all of a sudden, people try and discourage you. You're going to cry out to God, you're going to come early to worship, you're going to come to prayer meeting, you're going to go evangelizing, maybe with the group that goes out on Saturday or Subway Outreach, or you're going to come for all-night prayer, and people will come to you and say, come on, man, let's hang out and let's do that. Oh, you don't have to be that serious. It ain't that serious. It ain't that serious. You don't have to go so hard. Take it easy. Chill. Relax. But this woman, she doesn't give up. She does not give up. Great faith does not give up. She perseveres. She persists. She doesn't let go. This woman kept at it. Hallelujah. She didn't give up. She would not be denied. She would not be denied. The Bible says, but she came to Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, but she came to Jesus and began to worship him. Verse 25, but she came and worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. She came and began to worship him, which means it means to prostrate oneself in homage, to pay reverence to begin to adore. She comes in and she just begins to adore him and worship him. She's got a burden in her soul. And she just comes in and she just begins to worship him and adore him. Everything is gone. Everything is out. Everything else is set aside, out of focus. Her friends, she's not texting somebody during service. She's just, you know, she's not getting up and running to the restroom. I mean, she is just in the zone. She is in the zone. She is worshiping the Lord, focused, pleading with him, unburdening her soul. Pleading meaning praying. She's praying. Again, same word, pleading, praying. Praying, pleading, same word. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Some examples of others who persevered in prayer. Remember Jacob? How he wrestled with the angel all night, persevering in prayer, saying, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Until you bless me, Lord. Until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go. You've got to work something in me. You've got to do something. What happens? The Lord answers him, changes his name from Jacob to Israel, saying, you've prevailed with God, answers his prayer and changes him. He says, Lord, I'm a deceiver. I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I'm a fake. God, I take advantage of people. That's my name, Jacob. I take advantage of people. That's who I am. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. He comes clean with God. And the Lord says, no longer, no longer. I'm going to change who you are. I'm going to change who you are. You're going to be known as Israel, a prince with God, a man governed by God. Governed by God. Hallelujah. Abraham prays for his nephew, Lot. You remember? Lot's in a terrible place, a place that's under judgment, a place that is about to be destroyed. A place where things are over unless he escapes, unless he's rescued. Abraham pleads with the Lord, prays, intercedes for his nephew. And what happens? God sends angels into Sodom, into this place to go get his nephew. And then his nephew is just lingering. The Bible says he's lingering, dragging his feet. And the angels drag him out of the city. They say, come. They grab him and they say, let's go. Why? Because this man is praying and interceding. And he's saved as a result. I think of Hannah. Hannah, you remember her story? She prays for a son. She prays for a son. Lord, I'm barren. There's no fruit in my life. Would you do something? I'm desperate. God, would you do something? I can't do this. You have got to help me. And so she pleads with the Lord. She prays year after year. She would come and seek the face of God. And what happens? The Lord blesses her with a son, a young man named Samuel, who the Lord gives a word to that doesn't fall to the ground but finds its place in the hearts of those of his generation. God uses her life to give birth to a move of God. A move of God. Samuel represents a move of God, folks. Hallelujah. Verse 26, Jesus responded. She came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Throw it to the dogs. He's testing her faith, folks. This, you know, the Jews often referred to the pagans as dogs in that day. Dogs in that day, which were ceremonially unclean, according to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 27. And it seemed like he didn't care. It seemed like he didn't care. Folks, but we know that he is testing her faith. And also, this is an object lesson to his disciples that are at this point totally clueless. They're totally clueless. Some of us, I've been there, folks, when the Lord is trying to speak and say something, and I'm just like, la, 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 you know. I'm just caught up in my own stuff, right? Sometimes we're like that, and the Lord is trying to speak to us. Totally clueless here. But God is trying to teach them something. Through this woman's life, through her perseverance, through her great, through her faith. Her faith. I think of, you know, it seemed like he didn't care, and seemed, because we know he cares. That's why he came, right? That's why he was healing everybody who came to, you know. But I think of, you know, the story about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, right? They're walking on the road to Emmaus after the death and resurrection of Christ. They're walking on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden Jesus comes and joins them, and he begins to commune with them and talk to them, right? He talks to them, and then at the end of the day, he acts as if he's going on. It seemed as if he would continue going, but they restrained him, the Bible says. They said, "Don't leave us, stay with us, speak into our lives." It seemed as if he would go on, but they restrained him. Stay with us. That's what this reminds me of. But she doesn't give up. This lady doesn't give up. Great faith doesn't give up. It perseveres. It persists. Her faith stands the test and is an object lesson to the disciples and us. Verse 27, she replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Hallelujah. She believed that there would be an abundance of provisions with leftovers. With leftovers, folks. Maybe she had heard how the Lord had provided, you know, for his people in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. When the Lord sent manna from heaven and caused their shoes never to wear out in the wilderness, and caused water to flow out of a rock. Maybe she had heard of how the Lord was a provider, and he sent quail into the camp. Maybe she had heard the stories about how that God provided for his people when they came out of Egypt. Or maybe she was there when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the disciples took up 12 baskets of leftovers at the end. Maybe she was there when that happened. I don't know. But this woman believed that somehow he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. She believed that a crumb from God's table is able to vanquish every demon from hell. Hallelujah. She believed that all it takes is a crumb from God, hallelujah, to overcome every difficulty, every challenge, everything that comes your way and mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A crumb from God's table can meet any need. That all he has to do is say the word, and it's done. Great faith doesn't give up, but perseveres. And lastly, great faith secures the answer. Secures the answer. The Bible says, verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done to you as you wish. Your request is granted. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. Your request is granted. The word great comes from the Greek word, which means megas. You know what that sounds like, right? Mega means big, greatest, high, large, loud, mighty, and strong. Hallelujah. When you think of great faith, it speaks of the faith that it's at its greatest level, its greatest level of influence, greatest level of trust. It speaks of a strong clinging to, a large reliance on the Lord, a reliance on the Lord. The Bible says her daughter was instantly healed. Great faith secures the answer. I think of how my wife has been praying for her family, and it just seemed like nothing was happening. You know, being here and looking at her immediate family, praying for her family for the salvation of loved ones, and not seeing anything. And all of a sudden, you know, we're praying, and not seeing anything. But throughout the years, it's not like we pray every day for this, but you know, as the Holy Spirit would remind us, we'd pray, and at certain times we felt that intensity, that burden to pray for them more than others. But we would pray for them here and there, you know. But God is so faithful. We started to get word that her aunt got saved in the Dominican Republic. Then found out that her two cousins got saved. And then her aunt here got saved. And then another uncle now has come to Christ. And God is just, I mean, he is on the move, folks. God is faithful. Faithful. Great faith secures the answer. Jesus answered her requests. Praise God. Do you need an answer from God? I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. May we be a people of great faith. That's my prayer. A people who prevail in prayer and receive tremendous answers to the glory of our God. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? There are some this evening that maybe once you believed God for something or another, but for whatever the reason, you either stopped praying or believing the Lord. Maybe because of discouragement, or you're just tired of fighting in your own strength. I'd like to invite you to come to this altar tonight. To come to this altar. If the Lord's spoken to you, if you're facing an impossible situation and you need God's help, you too can get out of your seat and come to the Lord. Come to this altar and entrust it to him. He cares. He knows. And he's here. He's here. Let's stand together. As our team leads us in worship tonight, if you say, Pastor, that's me, we're going to worship together. We're going to believe God. I've been praying, folks. I've been praying from my own heart. I've been saying, Lord, help me not to limit you. Help me not to limit you, Lord. I know God is a great king. He can do anything. But our unbelief limits him from doing things in and through our lives. And say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to be strong in faith. like the scripture says concerning Barnabas. It says he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, strong in faith, and many people came to the Lord as a result. Good man, full of the Holy Ghost, strong in faith, and as a result, many people came to the Lord. Folks, that's my prayer lately. That's my prayer. Oh God, help me be strong in faith. Help me have great faith that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we worship, if you say, Pastor, I share that same heart cry and burden, I want to invite you to come and join me at this altar. And we're going to believe God to do what only he can do in the name of Jesus. If you're desperate tonight, if you came in here desperate, burdened tonight, this is your night for a miracle. This is your night for a miracle. This woman said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but you're merciful. You are Lord. You are God. Would you help me? He'll help you tonight if you'll come in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would make us a youth and young adult ministry of great faith. I pray that our faith would be centered on you always, that we would never look to ourselves for anything, but look to you. You are our righteousness, you are our holiness, our sufficiency is of you. I pray, oh God, Lord, that we would be a people that never give up, with a faith that persists, that perseveres, and that ultimately prevails in prayer and secures the answer that is ours in Christ. Father, thank you for every promise that you've given us in the book. It's ours. It's ours. Help us, Lord, to continually go into heaven's pantry and take what's ours by faith, God. Help us, Lord, not to live as paupers, Lord, when you've set before us a banquet table. Help us, Lord. Help us to secure answers, not just for ourselves, but like this woman, for others. Help us not to be focused on ourselves, but help us to reach out, to minister to one another and to others. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for what you will do in the days ahead. We're open. We're open, Lord. Here we are, like we sang. So you can use us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bless the Lord tonight. How many here, it's your first time responding to the front like this? First time responding to the front here? Is anybody's first time here coming to the front? God bless you. Welcome. Welcome, guys. God bless you. So delighted to have you with us. Awesome. Awesome. We've got some of our prayer partners that we would welcome. God bless you, too. From Egypt. Okay. Amen. Okay. Amen. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, he will do that. Amen. What's her name? Lusa? God bless you, Lusa. Amen. Praise God. From Egypt. Lusa from Egypt. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've got a whole family here. Whole family's here now. We look forward to seeing you. Amen. Want some of our prayer partners to minister to these that are here for the first time, to talk with them, these that are here for the first time. Those first timers here again, one time, would you raise your hands real quick? God bless you, man. God bless you, man. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Amen. Before you leave, don't let them leave, prayer partners, without speaking to them. The rest, we're going to go rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. We're going to go rejoicing what the Lord has done. It's been a wonderful evening in the presence of God. Don't forget, next Friday, the gate, Pastor Chris Wobishaw will be here with a word from the Lord. So you make sure you come out in Jesus' name. Amen.